Let us pray. Lord, I pray you enlighten our hearts and our minds this morning. The necessity to act like you did, Jesus, to reach out in friendship to others. Because the Bible says, not only are you our Creator, our Maker, our God, our Savior, you've also called us your friend. Help us to learn, Lord, how important it is for us to reach out in friendship to others, especially those who are new to our congregation, as we put these principles into effect so that you can grow your church. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're almost finished the teaching series on church growth. What? No applause? For some of you, you may have felt that this was a bit of a marathon, but don't worry, we're almost there. We're almost at the finish line. But then again, maybe we're just at the beginning. At least I truly hope that this is the beginning of something bigger and of something better. The last thing that I want, and hopefully the last thing that you want, and the last thing that our congregation needs is for us to take this teaching and do nothing with it. If these words and teaching only remain that, if they aren't put into practice, then we're really just wasting each other's time. We have reached the time for decision as a congregation. Decisions regarding the future of our congregation. And our future does not lie in God's hands, but in ours. That's because God will only ever do his part once we do ours. That's just the way it works with the Lord. And it doesn't matter what area of your life it involves. Relationships, careers, money. If we don't do what we are required to do, we cannot expect God to do what he wants and needs to do. That's why some people get angry with the Lord. They cry out to God and plead with him to help them, but they don't seek Christian counsel. They don't read the Bible, which is our owner's manual, to see what God says to do. They leave it all into God's hands when it really begins in ours. God wants to bless his church. God wants to bless this church. He wants this church to represent him to the world around us. And he wants to do amazing things in our midst as well. How do I know? Because that is the heart of God. That is the purpose of the true church that belongs to Jesus. But it all starts with us. Right here and right now, the decisions have to be made. Are we going to commit ourselves, whether as leaders or as members of this congregation, to focus on those things that the Lord says makes for a healthy church, a church that he can and that he will grow? Unfortunately, there are some people who just don't like to commit. They don't like to make and stick with decisions, especially if it affects the way that they have always done things, or if it isn't at the top of their priority list. We all know it. There are those who would rather stick their heads right in the sand. They would rather ignore the problems and just hope that those problems will go away. But do you know what? They never will. That's the thing with problems. No matter what they are, if they aren't dealt with God's way, they will come back again and again and again, making life absolutely miserable. So the problems that we are facing, and you all know what they are, will never go away unless we commit ourselves to following the formula, the principles that God has given in his word as to what a church needs to do and needs to focus on. That's going to take commitment on all of our parts, not just the leaders, but everyone's part, to be involved and make the necessary changes. We all need to participate. If not, it just won't work. Decisions have to be made and followed through on. If you want a bright, victorious, and blessed future as a congregation that will truly shine in the darkness that is around us, and a congregation that will truly be a wonder to the world, a congregation that will bring glory to our Savior and to our Lord. But as I said, there are some people who don't like to make the necessary decisions to deal with the problems that they are facing. Some people have the same attitude as Linus. Remember Linus from Charlie Brown? Dale has a smile on his face. One day Linus and Charlie Brown were walking along and chatting with one another. Linus said, "I don't like to face problems head on. I think the best way to solve problems is to avoid them. In fact, this is a distinct philosophy of mine. No problem is so big or so complicated that it can't be run away from." We all know that that is the easy road. It's the road that goes nowhere except to a dead end. It is a road with absolutely no future and a road that has no potential. So here we stand today as a group of believers at a pivotal point in our history. As one chapter of our congregational life has closed, another one is about to begin. But what will be written in those pages of this new chapter? Well, that is entirely up to you. That's why this teaching series is so important for all of us at this time. It is important because God's Word tells us what we need to do to have a blessed and victorious future, to be a force that is to be reckoned with, a force of good and a force for love to the world around us. And all the while, maturing in our own faith, getting ourselves ready for heaven, and watching our congregation grow like never before. God has promised to do His part. It's in His Word. But first, we need to do ours. Are we willing? Not just to talk the talk, but to truly walk the walk. It is only the Lord who can direct people's paths. Only He can call to their hearts. Only He can add to our numbers and allow us to grow in faith and in grace as we do things His way. God has promised to do His part. Will we do ours? I hope so. Today we will be looking at God's part of the deal, and it is found in the last verse of our passage that we have been looking at for the past 3 months. It's hard to believe that we have been learning from only 6 verses, and it has taken us that long to go through it. Well, almost through it. There was another week or so left. Anyway, verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." How many of us would like to see that happen? Anybody? Hands? Yes, yes. It can happen, and it will happen, if we diligently dedicate ourselves to reforming our priorities to the principles of church growth. So the reality is that when these principles are put into place, we will see growth. That is why you and I always have to be prepared to welcome, to nurture, and to find a place of service for the new people that will come to our church. When we all work together and do what God has told us to do, He will grow our church. When we persistently and passionately offer consistent Bible truth, offer loving fellowship, make prayer the priority, when we trust God to do supernatural things, when we maintain the unity that God has first given us, when we develop a culture of abundant generosity, when we offer excellent large group worship, when we create small group relationships, and when we impact our community and our world in positive ways, especially with evangelism, God will grow His church by growing our church. So how do we respond when new people come through the doors of our church? That is the question that we all need to ask. Many times, there are way too many people who go to new churches and find the same routine. They plop. They sit in their chair. They pray. And they pay tithe and offering. And that is pretty much it, Sunday after Sunday. The truth is that people get tired of this because we were all created to do works of faith. So instead of just plopping and praying and paying, they have to get into the game and start playing. In other words, they need to get involved. All of us need to be involved in something at our church. Have you ever noticed that some people only come to church when their name is on the list to do something? If it's true of people who have been members for a long time, it's especially true for new people. New people have to be given something to do. It is really the only way that they will ever feel that they are a part of our congregation and that they are truly important. I've said this again and again. A church is not a spectator sport. It is a team that works together. Now you may wonder, well, that sounds good, but what on earth could they do? Well, I truly believe that if we are diligent in putting the other principles of church growth that God tells us to put into place, then there will be enough work for everyone to do. And it won't be, oh, I have to go to church to do some work. My name's on the list again. You know that Eeyore anointing? It'll be exciting work. It will be life-giving work. Work that is rewarding and life-changing. You know, that's the way any work of the church should be. And any work that isn't that way in our congregation should really be analyzed to see that if it has anything to do with God's work at all. And if it isn't, we need to get rid of it in a hurry. So a healthy church, they will welcome, it will nurture, and it will find a place of service for the new people that the Lord brings to our congregation. That is one of the ways that our church will be healthy and grow, both in numbers and in faith. Everybody needs to be welcomed. And it's not just with a handshake and a smile, but with the knowledge that they are invited to become a vital part of the congregation. Now, I'm not saying that the first Sunday that someone shows up to church that we go up to them and ask them to lead a Bible study or something, because they would probably run. But we could ask them if they would like to attend one. We can take the time to talk with them, to see what their needs are and what their gifts are, and invite them to be a part of a group where they would truly fit in. And then after a while, they can begin to help out. I'm sure that all of you remember what it was like to move to a new town or start a new job or even go to a new school, right? Like I talked with the children. It's not always easy. You probably felt alone. You likely felt that there was a bit of a wall between you and the other people. That's why it is our duty, every person here's duty, to help bring those walls down. And when we do, the easier we make it for new people to feel right at home in our church. And the more likely that they will come back a second and a third time. We also need to be aware of something else that is very important. When newcomers visit our church, they usually have very specific needs. That's why we really need to be attentive to those needs and always, always go out of our way to make them feel welcome. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18:5? He said, "And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So since I like things to be practical and simple, I'm going to give you some ideas that I think are going to help us to make visitors feel welcome right here in our congregation. First, it is important for us to help new people feel accepted. As you know, and as I've said, it's not easy to go to a new place for the first time. Many times, guests will feel uncomfortable or out of place, especially if they haven't been to a church in a while or maybe never been to a church at all. And if the church feels like it is closed to new people, they just won't feel they're a part of it. As Janet and Catherine can tell you, your names keep coming up today. There are, sadly, some churches who seem to have a room for us and no more attitude when it comes to welcoming new people. And you know what? Those people that are new, they feel it. They feel like they have outlived their welcome even after only a few minutes. Wow, that's not the way any church should be. But sometimes we can all get into that same attitude without really knowing it. So we have to keep asking ourselves, how friendly is our church? How welcoming and how accepting are we? We need to keep analyzing our approach and make any changes that are necessary. I believe that one of the first ways of making new people feel accepted is by what we put on the church sign. I'm not talking about the sign that Sean looks after where he puts something to think about, but the other church sign that tells who we are. I think Catherine, here's her name again, wants a neon sign over our new building. That's an inside joke. When I drive by churches and I look at their signs, there are some that, you know what, I wouldn't even want to enter. All they want to do is put down their service time and show how many letters their minister has after their name. To me, that's not inviting. But ones that say, "Come and join us. We'd love to have you." Now, those kind of churches get my attention. After the sign, our greeters are the next line of welcome and acceptance. That's why I'm always so glad when they have a smile upon their face and genuinely welcome people into our church. Something else that we could do is have a welcoming team. Write that one down, session members. A team who is given the responsibility of getting out of their chairs and welcoming new people, inviting them back, and telling them of the many programs that hopefully we're going to have here someday. We used to hand out welcoming packages, and I think we need to start doing that again. And of course, those on the welcoming teams should also be prepared to pray for newcomers, because many of them have come to church to seek some answers to the problems of life. Those on the welcoming team should also be those who are eager to see new guests come to our church. If you never think about new people being here, or if you only sometimes notice new people that come, you really won't have the heart to be on the welcoming team. But if you're always looking around for guests to truly welcome, you're hired. Helping others feel accepted is huge. And in addition to that, new people also need to be nurtured. And guess what? That can only be done through relationships. That's what many seekers in the world are really looking for. And they won't see the relationship that they can have with Jesus if the people of our church aren't willing to nurture a relationship with them first. If they don't see the love and the caring nature of Jesus in you, they probably won't take the next step of getting to know Jesus themselves. nurturing a relationship with a new person in church is really the same as establishing a new friendship with someone. And we all know that that just doesn't happen all by itself. As with any relationship, you need to get to know the new person. You need to spend time with them and build a bond of friendship. We can't just assume that people will find friends on their own. That's why all the members of our congregation should help them feel connected by reaching out in friendship. At session, the leaders of this congregation should really be asking themselves some very serious questions when it comes to visitors. The first is, how do we follow up with those who have just come to our church for the first time? Secondly, how many of our visitors return for a second or a third time? And if they don't return, why not? What changes do we need to make to make our congregation more like the biblical model of what a church should look like? And third, how do we help new people make friends and become involved in the various programs of our church? These are serious questions that I know will bring serious results. Newcomers need to feel accepted. They need to be nurtured. And they also need a place, as I've said before, where they can serve. Church is not for spectators. Have I mentioned that before? Okay. Church is not a spectator sport, although that is what many churches have become today. You have the professional. You have the audience. But that was never the way it was in the early church. And it isn't the way it is supposed to be today. We are all called to minister and serve. And so a healthy church invites and encourages new people to serve as well. At some point, hopefully soon, we should make a list of where our church needs volunteers to help out. It may be taking care of the children and teaching them in Sunday school. It may be greeting other new people. It may be going to Haiti with me to build some churches or to help with the orphanage. It may be going to the Bridge Youth Center to work with Rani at his outreach to the Syrian refugees. And I'm hoping that as we put these biblical principles of church growth into practice, that we will have more and more ministries and outreaches that people can join so that they can serve. Anybody else hoping for that? When it comes to new people coming through the doors of our church, we always need to remember that when people feel needed, then and usually only then, they will feel that they belong. Everybody was created with special gifts. Whether you want to deny it or not, you have special gifts. And each Christian has been given special spiritual gifts so that we can serve together in God's church. You see, the world is where people learn to be selfish and to look out for their own needs. But the church is where people learn to serve others with the love of Jesus. This me-first attitude is one of the most popular core values in the world around us today. But Jesus first, others second, me third is the core value of the true church of Jesus Christ. That's why God gives each and every believer one or more spiritual gifts. Special God-given abilities that He wants us to use and use often. Spiritual gifts are given to us, each of us, not so that we can become proud, but for one reason and one reason alone: for God's glory and for the good of others. I guess that's two, but you know what I mean. In any Jesus-centered congregation, people's gifts generally fall into one or more of these areas. There is serving. There is teaching. There is praying for others. There is working with our children. There is sharing the gospel. There is encouraging others. There's being generous with their God-given resources. And there's just plain helping other people. As 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6 tells us, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. Healthy churches need to provide opportunities for everyone to use their talents and their gifts on a regular basis. Because serving helps us to grow in our faith and become spiritually mature. And it also enables us to accomplish so much more for the kingdom of God. So when it comes to newcomers, what should we expect of our church members? That's you. I know I'm asking a lot of questions this morning. Well, you need to remember that you are not part of a worldly organization. You are part of God's supernatural organization. You are God's children. And the word the Bible uses for us, for you and for me, is family. You and I, because of our faith in Jesus, are part of the family of God. That's nice. But it also means that we have expectations of one another. We need each other. Much like people have expectations in healthy families for that family to work properly. In the church, family members also need to expect some things from each other. And the way we live out meeting those expectations should be very evident to newcomers, so that they can adopt these things as well as part of their life. The first expectation for all of us is for all of us to safeguard the unity of our church. That means that every member will support the leadership of the church, as well as live peacefully with each other. As I stressed before, unity pleases God and is essential to the health of any church. And if we are not focused on maintaining the unity that God has given us, then we will be divided. And if a newcomer sees that, they won't want to stay. And after a while, many of the members won't want to stay either. We should all set an example to newcomers by also agreeing to share our faith in one way or another. Remember the illustration I gave of filling 500 water bottles with a fire hose, or one by one? When all the family members in the church agree to share the responsibility to reach others for Jesus, everyone will share the living waters of Jesus more effectively, and the church will grow. Members should also agree to serve gladly in the church. And that's a big one. It shouldn't be because you feel obligated, you know, your name's on the list kind of thing, or because someone's asked you to do it and you don't want to. It should be done cheerfully because you are serving the Lord Himself. You know, serving is a core value of any healthy church. It is necessary so that we can care for other people. And it is needed so that we as individuals can grow in our own faith as true followers of Jesus, and become all that He intends for us to be in this lifetime. Each of us should also set the example to newcomers by agreeing in our hearts and in our minds to support the work of the church. And yes, I'm talking about money here. Remember, Jesus talked about money more than many other things because He wants our hearts and our treasures in the right place. Tithes and offerings are necessary to support the work of any church. And generous givers free the church to accomplish more for God's kingdom. Don't worry, that's all I'm going to say on money for now. Finally, and I'll cover this in more detail next week, all members of a healthy church should agree to disciple newcomers. All members, that's you, that's me. All those who have sat in church for a while, have the responsibility to help others follow Jesus on a daily basis so they can mature and in turn disciple others. That is part of God's multiplication principle that He uses to grow His church. Because as you see, as we begin to do things the right way, as we put these principles into place, we will start to grow. And usually what happens once growth begins, it takes off, just like an aircraft. When the decision has been made to move forward, the plane starts to move, but slowly. It gains some speed. And eventually it takes off, and it begins to soar and reach incredible heights. You know what? We can do the same in regards to our future and the growth that God wants for us. But what do we have to do first? We have to engage the throttle. We have to do our part first. If we're truly committed to these principles, if we are truly and really sincere, if we are really dedicated to church health, we will have to expect the outcome that God has promised, right? We will have to welcome, in new ways, new people into our congregation. It's all up to you. The future is wide open ahead of us. So what kind of future do you want for our congregation? We can continue the way we were and some ways are. But I think we all know the outcome of that. Or we can reorganize our priorities around God's principles and get rid of everything else. Get organized around God's principles of how a church should be. It will require change. It will require work. It will require dedication on everybody's part. But the rewards will be eternal. Not only will we leave behind a legacy for the next generation that follows, we will be used by the Lord to impact the lives of many, many people all around the world. And that testimony will be given again and again and again for all of eternity. So let's purpose in each one of our hearts to make the decision to have a healthy church, a church that God will grow for His glory.